When he was president, Donald Trump, as do all presidents, had influence and pull in world affairs, where any president exercises that influence kind of tells a lot about them, does it not? Trump appears had a fixation with Ukraine, which seemed unusual for some people. However, when you look at what became Trump's inner circle, explanation quickly comes about. As prosecuted with the Department of Justice, New York State Attorney General's office, along with being a civil litigator, his work has certainly shined a light on actions that many, I mean many, wanted to keep hidden in the darkness. He tells some of these stories in his new book, Saving the World, One Case at a Time. We say good morning to Kenneth McCallion. How are you today, sir?
Just fine. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you. Appreciate the opportunity.
And certainly I appreciate your book because unlike, and I've seen books countless number of times, one of those, you know, look at me, look what I did type of book. But your book, Saving the World One Case at a Time, it combines your actions, your work with a history lesson regarding that, those specific cases. So you ought to be congratulated for that as well, because I think you come forward with a very educational book, not just informative book.
Well, I had the good fortune to have the opportunity to work on some of the most significant cases over the last few decades, and particularly in Ukraine, I had the opportunity to work across from such characters such as Paul Manafort, who was an advisor to the pro-Russian president back then, and based on the work that he did for that autocratic, anti-democratic pro-Russian president, he was hired by Donald Trump as his the chairman of his campaign committee.
What Mr. McCallion is referring to specifically, you're representing, I guess, former Ukrainian Prime Minister Tymoshenko, who was being, or she was trying to out the corruption, and the corruption wound up taking her down, putting her in jail on criminal charges. What, you know, in a corrupt system like the Ukraine was at that point in time, what's it like going into it as a lawyer trying to, well, you have to work with it, I guess, as best you can.
Yeah, it's a very different environment, and I'd hate to see the U.S. go that particular route. There was extensive corruption. There was political intrigue, which there is everywhere, but the consequences were quite severe. Many of the pro-democracy opposition leaders ended up missing or dead. And indeed, I was there during the what's known as the Maidan uprising in February, March of 2014, when demonstrators ultimately ousted the pro-Russian president, and many of the demonstrators were severely injured and killed. And I myself ended up in hospital, but fortunately, after some surgeries back in New York, I was able to recover.
Now, some people might be surprised why Donald Trump would be drawn to Russian mob, pro-Russian organized crime, money laundering through actions that you write about from Paul Manafort and others. When you look at the fact that Trump was involved in real estate in New York and New Jersey, he dealt with mob then. You'd be naive to think otherwise, because that was just if you wanted to do what you were going to do, that's who he had to deal with. So maybe the attraction or the interest, maybe the how it can benefit him didn't seem that foreign after all, if you look at the mechanics.
No, absolutely not. When I was with the organized crime section of the Justice Department, mob members regularly laundered illicit money through the casinos. And then when the casinos went bankrupt and the legitimate banks pulled out of financing them, as well as the condominium developments, Trump Towers and others, the vacuum was filled by really illicit gray money from the Eastern Bloc, Russia, Ukraine, and elsewhere. The oligarchs poured millions upon millions of dollars into Trump's condominium projects and casinos, as the bags of cash would move in. They'd purchase the condominiums, let it sit there for a couple of years, sell the condos, and dirty money would be converted into clean money. And Trump was very willing to accept it. And without this lifeblood of cash from the Russians, the Trump organization may have collapsed at the time.
Talking with attorney Kenneth McCallion in his book, Saving the World, One Case at a Time, McCallionLaw.com for his law firm, KennethMcCallionAuthor.com for his written work. We've got links to both those sites at our homepage, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. When you look at Trump, too, he tries to continue that pressuring, that strong-arming, hammer-locking with incoming President Zelensky, and well, I guess Zelensky was not going to play that game.
No, to Zelensky's credit, he surprised everyone. He was a comic actor, but has shown really a backbone of steel, both in resisting then-President Trump's overtures and really extortion to get some assistance with painting Hunter Biden and his father as corrupt politicians and business people, and then after the Russian invasion most recently, he's come to be one of the major leaders of the free world.
Just want to do one more question about Trump, but that's not what the entirety of Kenneth's book is all about. But just as your expertise and insight as an attorney, if you look at the span of cases, the span of charges that Trump is facing, which one, if you were his attorney, would you say to him, this one even you have to worry about?
Well, there's really two. The organization is facing an existential crisis and may go under based on the Attorney General of New York's investigation and the charges that have been or will shortly be brought against that corporation. But personally, it is the kind of bizarre compulsion by Trump to take top secret documents and keep them at his desk next to his passport and in his basement and show it to people at Mar-a-Lago for what reasons may or may not make any rational sense. But that may be his undoing for violations of the Espionage Act and other national security laws.
Or at least until the appeals go through. It did seem to have a buffer zone now with that judge in Florida, the Trump-appointed judge, but a lot of people expect her ruling and her limitations to be quickly at least overturned, but as they say, to be continued. Going back to your new book, Saving the World One Case at a Time, what struck me interesting was, it was the first chapter of the book too, that we've seen certainly the horrors and the living hell that's existed during the COVID pandemic of the New York nursing homes, but that wasn't something new because you came across that early in your career, come to think of it, how the homes were just miserable when it came to living up to their expected priorities.
Well, that's true. It was my first job as a prosecutor to work on the nursing home investigation, it was despicable conditions that many of the patients were kept in at the nursing homes for the profit of the owners and financed to a large extent by the taxpayers through Medicaid, Medicare. So a program was set up in New York, replicated in other states around the country and now nationally, really to keep a close oversight on Medicaid, Medicare, and conditions in nursing homes, and it has been far from completely solving the problem. I've had civil cases that have exposed recently abhorrent conditions in certain nursing homes, but at least we have a government agencies now with the resources to come in and investigate and clean up the mess when also hold accountable the parties responsible.
We always hope when we have what we see as something so obvious and blatant that it needs to be addressed through legal means that we hope the solution will be quick as easy as possible, as painless as possible. But that is not always the reality, as you tell a story of your work with the Parejito homesteaders.
Yes, these were the originally Mexican settlers several hundred years ago in New Mexico, in the plateau which became the Los Alamos nuclear power facility. They were summarily removed from their land during World War II without adequate compensation. Many of them were forced to work without wages or certainly adequate wages in very dangerous conditions. And that issue was swept under the rug for literally decades until some of the senators, congressmen of New Mexico, along with our law firm, and the assistance of some of the administration in Washington were able to fold into the Defense Department bill some compensation package for some of the original settlers who were removed from their land, but certainly their successors and the families themselves. So sometimes justice is delayed for a long period of time, but at least in that case, ultimately, justice prevailed.
There are so many stories about Kenneth's book, Saving the World One Case at a Time, that'll make you say, first of all, oh yeah, I remember that. But then when you look at his telling of the history, the legal mechanics connected to that story, you get quite the legal education, I do believe, in a way that you can easily embrace and absorb. And many of the stories, too, will help you place a value on how and why we need so much more justice and fairness in the here and now. It's a fantastic book of not just law stories or a legal career, but of our history as well. And, of course, as we mentioned in the early part of this segment, too, you want a little clarification of why there's been such a connection with Ukraine by certain people. You get some blanks filled in. That idea, too, through Kenneth's book, Saving the World One Case at a Time. Learn more about his writing at KennethMcCallionAuthor.com, his legal firm, McCallionLaw.com. We have links for those two sites at our homepage as well. Kenneth McCallion, thank you so much for the work that you do in achieving that fairness as best as whatever system you're confronting is able to be dealt with. And thank you so much for telling your story from being here today.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity, and keep up the good work.